This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Brandon Kylie. Happy Red Friday to you and yours. How are you guys doing today?
Happy Red Friday to you, my friend, as well. Doing good. KU basketball back on the court tonight. Chiefs back on the field Sunday. Another big sports weekend around these parts.
Can we not mention that Missouri is back on the court tonight? K-State plays UNLV tomorrow.
Yeah, there's some other basketball,
Kansas, they're not the only team playing basketball. Oh, yeah. I know you're itching to get that first win of the season, but other teams are playing college basketball.
Undefeated teams.
Undefeated teams.
Who y'all got tonight?
UNC Greensboro.
That's who KU plays. Northern Kentucky, is that right, versus MU?
See, when you just answered that, yes, you all, you said –
It was a Freudian slip. It happens to the best of us.
I was just asking.
He's looking forward to the weekend.
What just happened?
I am looking forward to
the weekend. Does he not just have a stroke?
No, he's fine.
No, he asked me who I had this weekend. I'm taking UNC Greensboro.
Oh, now I understand.
I was asking who MU has. You're taking Greensboro tonight? Get out of here. Don't be silly.
I think they're going into Allen and leaving with the dub.
Uh-huh. He's not alone, apparently.
I think they're going into Allen and leaving with the dub.
Do you even know their mascot?
No. No, absolutely.
They're
no,
green. But.
Sort of. Blue and yellow makes green. They're the Spartans.
Absolutely no clue who their mascot is.
They're not going to beat KU. Now get the hell out of here.
Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. Again, my name is Carrington. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Brandon Kylie. Before we talk about the top story of the day and really celebrate this Red Friday correctly, we need caller number 6, 913-576-7610. We are giving away a 16-inch large pizza to the other place. All you need to do is three things. Number one, you got to be listening at 2 o'clock, and you got to tell one friend. You don't got to tell two friends, just got to tell one. Number two, you got to be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. And number three, you have to say, welcome back, Patrick Mahomes. If you do all three of those things, then you win a free pizza. Before we get into the top story of the day, I'll tell you everything Andy Reid had to say about the return of your quarterback.
Patrick did practice the full practice. Unless something happens here, he'll be the guy that plays. And so you can go whatever direction you want to go with it. I'm going to see how he did after this practice. But right now, that's what it looks like.
And you guys talked about what you wanted to see, the kind of the mornings after Patrick's practices. So how did he respond, I guess, after going full Wednesday and going full Thursday?
Yeah, so far, so good. You know, we just have to see how he does. It looks like he's going to talk to you today. So we'll have to see how he does tonight and going forward the next couple of days. But right now, you know.
And I know you'd mentioned before he wanted to go back in and play 20 minutes after it happened. What's he been like, just, you know, the emotional side of this?
Yeah, no, he's done a good job. He's that's the way he is. So he's done everything he's been asked to do and worked hard, been honest with us. So, yeah, to this point, yeah.
I know you probably don't think of things in these terms, but when Patrick went down, given the gravity of what it looked like then, how fortunate do you feel that 2 weeks later you're going to be able to have him?
Well, I'm happy for him, most of all. I mean, I wasn't the one hurt. I mean, he was hurt, so and he loves to play the game. I mean, you don't want to see any of these guys get hurt. I mean, that's not but he loves to play the game, and it's great for him. It's good for his teammates and for the team. So, it's good to have him back if that's where we're going here, you know, which it looks like it is.
So that was everything that Andy Reid had to say in his press conference about the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. It is no longer Matt Moore. Patrick Mahomes is back. He will be starting Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. Probably the biggest thing that I heard from Mahomes, he says that he can still throw the ball across his body on the run, and he wanted to make sure that he could do that before he got back on the field. The biggest thing I want to see with Mahomes is what's his movement laterally? Some of the things that we've seen from Mahomes is not just that he is arguably the best pocket passer in the NFL. He might be the best quarterback outside the pocket and throwing on the run and making a lot of athletic, elusive plays to extend drives and throw the ball downfield. Does he still have that ability? I don't know if he could have done that 2 weeks ago or last week. The fact that that was a test for him to see if he could still make some of the throws across his body and challenge himself downfield, I think it'll be noticeable, the knee injury. I don't think it's going to be glaringly noticeable. I expect to see a very similar Patrick Mahomes to the one we saw suit up for against the Denver Broncos.
Everything you just said, and I think the fact that he hit his target date is the best news possible. Because if he would have come back earlier, you'd hear people saying the Chiefs were rushing him back. And if it took longer than the Tennessee game, you'd hear people saying they're babying him. So I think that best case scenario is what ended up happening, which is, let him rest the knee. At the same time, let him rest the ankle. The Chiefs kept winning football games. They went 2-1, if you want to include the Broncos game in his absence. Now they know that just in case something happens from this point going forward, they've got a decent backup if they need him again for a game or two. And I don't think they're going to change the playbook. The only thing I think they change this week and the next couple of weeks is, if in a normal football game, you'd maybe run Patrick Mahomes one time on a called run, you probably don't call any of those. And the offensive line becomes more important than they have probably any time that Andy Reid's been here. It was certainly important to protect for Jamal Charles and to keep Alex Smith upright and Patrick Mahomes up until this point. But now that he comes back from the injury, just to give him the mental side of things, I think the offensive line is just as important as any unit coming up on Sunday.
You've had more questions about this than I have. How do you feel about what you heard today from Andy Reid, from Patrick Mahomes, about the steps that he's gone through to get back on the field? I do think it was noticeable that Andy talked about the honesty with Mahomes. One of my big things on the checklist was going to be, were they all on the same page? Part of getting back on the field is being honest and disclosing your injuries and having open communication about what the proper steps are to get back on the field. The fact that they set the target date very early on for him to come back to this game, they have ramped him up in practice. He was a full participant all week. Again, I'm not saying that Mahomes is going to be 100%. He also plays football in the NFL. I don't know how realistic 100% is, but I think he's going to be healthy. I think the expectation is for him to go out there and play well. I think he's going to play like one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL, which he is. I don't have many concerns. You had more than me. I'm curious where you stand now after hearing everybody speak.
I'm perfectly comfortable with this decision. And the only thing I was saying the entire time is, based on the way that Matt Moore played, it gave the Chiefs an option. That, and they could beat Tennessee probably without Pat, and the schedule going forward in Mexico City. All I was doing was throwing out an alternative. I never had any problem because I'm not a doctor. I'm an idiot. I'm a radio host. I think that if the doctor said that he could play and physically he can play and they tell us today that he's going to play, I have no problem with it. I mean, it gives the Chiefs the best chance to win. And like you and most people have been saying all week long, and really the last couple of weeks, at some point he's going to get back out there. And the risk for re-injury is never going to be zero. So there's people a lot smarter than you and I that are telling us that there's not a high probability by bringing him back this week. Then you got to get him out there sometime. And so now we start the run with Patrick Mahomes, and it's nice to know that just in case something bad happens, you got Matt Moore.
BK, I'm curious what you think on this before we kind of move on from it. You had concerns about him playing in Mexico City. We can now end that conversation. He will be playing in the game against Mexico on the knee with the field and all the concerns that come with that. Are you happy with this decision?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everything's healed the way that it was supposed to, right? I think this is as simple as the Chiefs handled this the correct way. It sounds like, based on every piece of evidence that we have, and we have no reason to believe that that's not the case. So if they're following all the doctor's advice, if Patrick Mahomes himself feels really confident in his knee, they took it slow last week. I do think he could have played last week. I think he wanted to play last week. And I think the Chiefs told him, no, you're not playing last week. And so based on that, they took it another week even past what they probably could have. So, yeah, I'm all things considered, I'm still nervous about the field in Mexico City. That still exists. Like, that's still something that concerns me. But all things considered, I think they played this right, man. I don't know how I could have asked for anything more from the process that they put him through, all things being equal.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into last night's Thursday night football game between the Raiders and the Chargers. But really quickly, I know for you, your number one concern that you've had with the Kansas City Chiefs the first half of the season has been the injuries. Going into this game against the Tennessee Titans, this is going to be the healthiest they've been since week one of the NFL season. Mahomes is going to play. Tyreek Hill is going to play. Travis Kelce is going to play. Sammy Watkins is going to play. Chris Jones is going to play in this game. It would appear that Kendall Fuller is going to be back in this matchup. I know they're not 100% healthy, and maybe everybody is not going to be active and available for the game, but that hasn't really been the case at any point this season. It's trending in the direction, let me knock on wood here, that at the end of the game, it can be the first time all season they've had Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce play a full 60 minutes of NFL action. This is going to be the healthiest we've seen the Chiefs really at any point this season since the third drive against Jacksonville.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball. And let's face it, that's what's going to take this team if they're going to end up winning a Super Bowl. It's on that side of the ball. Even though the defense is improved, they're going to win by putting up 35 or 40 points on their opponents. And we talked about this entire offseason. The question was, can Pat be better? Can the offense be better? And we know the numbers last year. The Chiefs became the third team in NFL history to average 35 points per game. They're not quite there, but we know the reason why. They've been injured. Now that those guys are coming back for the next six or seven games till the playoffs roll around, we can finally start to judge that Chiefs offense that we thought they were.
I mean, it is lining up to be a perfect storm for the Kansas City Chiefs. The schedule certainly lightens up the second half of the season as opposed to the first half of the season, and they're getting healthy and getting their quarterback. Speaking of the schedule game, we'll play that coming up next. Plus, the Raiders look like a team that could maybe compete for a wild card spot. We'll talk about last night's game against the Chargers. That's coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we will be joined by former Tennessee Titans general manager Floyd Reese. He does radio in Tennessee now. He was the general manager for Tennessee from 1994 until 2006. He's basically the Carl Peterson of Nashville, Tennessee. He will be on the show coming up in 15 minutes. But what I think is going to be a very common theme you are going to hear over the next 5 to 6 weeks in the NFL, Damian Woody of ESPN thinks the schedule is really going to open up for Oakland.
When we look at the Raiders, you know, their schedule coming up, they have a legit opportunity to be in there because the AFC is watered down. I mean, think about it. Uh-huh. It is so top heavy between the Patriots, Ravens, and the Chiefs. What else is going on in the AFC?
I was locked into yesterday's game. I probably watched from the second quarter on every single snap. I was really intrigued because of what it meant in the AFC West and what it means in the AFC playoff picture. I am at least in this boat. I'm curious where you guys are. I think that Buffalo is making the playoffs. I look at their schedule. I think they're going to reap the same benefits from New England. I think Buffalo is almost a lock for the playoffs. I look at it like it's basically three teams competing for one playoff spot and to be the sixth team in the AFC, and Oakland is certainly in that category. But one thing I don't want to fall into is I feel like every team in the AFC is starting to play that schedule game. Like, we're playing it in Kansas City. You look at their schedule down the stretch, and you're thinking, hey, the only tough team they play is New England. They can go on a 7-1 run. Oakland's going to play the schedule game. Look at our schedule. It really opens up the second half of the season. Remember, Cleveland was doing this last week. Cleveland was really trying to convince themselves, hey, second half of the season opens up. They lost their first game to the Denver Broncos. Pittsburgh, a big reason why you're picking them to make the playoffs, Sean, is because of their second half schedule. Buffalo's second half schedule. Every AFC team is convinced that the second half of their schedule is easy. Some of them will take advantage of it. Probably teams like the Kansas City Chiefs. Some of these teams like Oakland and Pittsburgh are going to finish 8-8 this year, and it's going to be a disappointing end to their season given the schedule that they have in front of them.
That Raiders schedule that you're talking about, they face the Bengals and the Jets coming up the next 2 weeks. They're going to win those games, and they're 7-4, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs have the bye, and then they face Oakland. Because we were talking about yesterday, you said you can't bring up both the AFC West and being the number one seed. You might not like having that conversation, but the facts are – Oakland's got a crappy schedule. They're better than we thought. They play in a few weeks. They're probably going to be 7-4. If anything, it's a good thing. The Chiefs have somebody that's pushing them, Oakland. They've got somebody they're pulling towards, the Patriots. So I think that the Chiefs are really in a very advantageous position where they sit right now. Let me correct something that you said. There are two teams that actually aren't playing that schedule game in the AFC when it comes to they think they can run the table or win a lot of games going forward. One of them is the Patriots. That's how it was for the first 2 months for them. Mm-hmm. They finally met their match starting last week versus Baltimore, and we saw the Patriots might actually be human and they bleed. And the Titans, the team the Chiefs face coming up on Sunday, and nobody's afraid of the Titans, but for the record, this is their schedule the rest of the way. The Chiefs, then the Jaguars, they might be able to win that game. Then it's the Colts, the Raiders, the Texans, the Saints, and the Texans again. They might not win another game the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's not really a factor. I think they have a 0% chance of making the playoffs. I think what's exciting about the playoff picture in the AFC is a lot of these teams are going to play each other. Oakland still plays Kansas City, the Chargers. they appear to be out because of what happened yesterday against the Los Angeles Raiders, but they're technically still in it with two games against Kansas City. New England plays Houston down the stretch, so that's going to be a deciding game. Houston plays New England and Baltimore down the stretch. We're going to have about 6 to 8 games in the AFC that are going to dictate who makes the playoffs and also dictate playoff seeding.
It's also the reason why we're having this conversation about the schedules opening up. Like, the same reason why it's going to be exciting down the stretch is the same reason why so many of these teams think their schedule stinks down the stretch. Because, yes, there is that round robin that we've had going across some of the best teams in the AFC, with the Chiefs taking on the Texans and the Colts and the Ravens already, and eventually they're going to play the Patriots this year. All of those teams are playing one another, but the other problem is they get to play the Dolphins and the Jets and the Browns and the Steelers and the Bengals and so on and so forth. The problem with the AFC is that a lot of these teams stink. Like, most of the teams in the AFC are bad. And so when you look at the schedule and you project forward, and now they've pushed a lot of these divisional games to the end of the year. That's one of the reasons why the Chiefs haven't played the Chargers yet and why they still have games to play coming up against the Raiders. One of the reasons why a lot of these teams think they've got a shot is because the AFC is bad at the bottom and there's like 10 teams that aren't very good. And so when you're playing those teams down the stretch, yeah, all of a sudden your schedule opens up a bit, but everybody has that same schedule down the stretch.
I will say this when it comes to the Oakland Raiders. I'm not picking them to make the playoffs, and I'm not saying I'm not willing to play the schedule game, but BK, you can mark this. That East Coast road trip they're making to the Jets, I'll pick them to lose that game. I've seen enough NFL football to know West Coast team goes on the road to play that 12 o'clock game on the East Coast and they come out a little bit sluggish.
Natural letdown spot too with the Chiefs coming up the next week.
I'm picking the Raiders to lose that football game to the Jets. I know you guys make fun of me for believing in the Jets early part in the season. I'm telling you, we have seen time and time again, West Coast team goes out to the East Coast for that 12 o'clock. They're a 3.5, 3-point favorite on the road, and that's where Vegas absolutely cleans up. I'm staying far away from that game. You can go ahead and mark the tape on that one.
While we're talking about schedules, the last 5 weeks, by the numbers, the Chiefs had the most difficult schedule in the entire NFL. They faced Indy, potential playoff team, Houston, likely playoff team, then Denver, they sting, Green Bay, likely playoff team, and Minnesota. The schedule on paper gets a lot easier the next few weeks. Tennessee, then the game in Mexico City against the Chargers, neutral field game, and then it gets a little tricky. Then we're talking about Oakland leading into the New England game. So very interesting schedule the rest of the way for Kansas City.
Yeah, to put some numbers on that, Sam Mellinger put this out earlier today. Current AFC playoff teams' opponents' records so far this year. The Chiefs' opponents have won 45 games. The Texans' opponents have won 41 games. No other team that's currently in the playoff has a schedule so far that has at least 33 wins. It's Colts 33, and then you look at the Patriots and the Bills. It's no wonder why their records are so good. The Patriots' opponents are a combined 24-50 on the season. The Bills' opponents are a combined 22-47 on the season. Yeah, all of a sudden, the AFC East seed out. We said before the year it's going to be one of those teams, the Jets or the Bills, one of them coming out. This is why, because the rest of the division is so bad that they're able to rack up those wins early on.
And not to look too far ahead, but I will for a second. If they can somehow beat New England a month from now, then they'd have a resume that's starting to look pretty impressive when the playoffs roll around. A win against New England, a win against Minnesota, and that early season win against Baltimore. I think by the time the playoffs roll around, those might be three of the best 5 or 6 teams in the league.
Text line 69306, was last night the better outcome for the Kansas City Chiefs? Honestly, I don't really think it matters that much. You play the Chargers twice down the stretch, home and road. Those are games of home and neutral. You play the Mexico City next week on Monday Night Football. You've won 9 of your last 10 games against them, and you play after the bye week, Oakland in December at Arrowhead. I don't really think either outcome matters. You simply got to take care of business in those games, and that's why I'm not really that willing to play the AFC West. Do I believe in Oakland? I just think that 10 wins is probably Oakland's ceiling. Now, they're far better than I thought they were going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Carr appears to be healthier and now second year in that system with John Gruden. And Josh Jacobs might win Rookie of the Year. He was really solid. Darren Waller might win Most Improved Player in the NFL. Like, Oakland has more talent than I had anticipated. I just think that their ceiling is 10 wins, which 10 wins probably get you in the playoffs in the AFC, where Kansas City's ceiling is probably 12 wins.
And you can say Andy doesn't do this well, Andy doesn't do that well. Andy is incredible when he plays division teams. He's 25-5 versus AFC West teams, not quarterbacked by Peyton Manning. So we all know that, yeah, threat when they're fully healthy. we know how good Andy Reid is versus this division. They don't worry me.
Remember when you were a big believer in the Los Angeles Chargers? That was a fun 2 months of you really believing in the Chargers.
Yeah, I think that was about the same time you were talking about teams like, oh, I don't know, the Jets, the Browns, Philly. So, yeah, I got the Chargers wrong.
I mean, it was obvious to see that Chargers did come in from a mile away. I mean, the Chargers, this decade, they've only made the playoffs one time. They've only won double-digit games one time. What was more likely, that they went back to the team that they were or the team that they were last season?
The Browns have only had double-digit wins one time since the Nixon administration. You told me they were going to the playoffs.
So did you. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with former Tennessee Titans GM Floyd Reese from 1994 to 2006. He was the a front office executive and general manager for the Tennessee Titans. We'll catch up with Floyd coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes, we will hear from Patrick Mahomes. We will play everything that he had to say today about his knee and coming back from injury. If you missed it, the top story of the day in Kansas City is it is now official, no more speculation. Patrick Mahomes will be starting for the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans. Speaking of Tennessee, let's head to the phone line right now to catch up with Floyd Reese. From 1994 to 2006, he was the general manager for the Tennessee Titans. Floyd, thanks a lot for coming on. As someone who worked in the front office, what kind of boost is it to have a player like Patrick Mahomes back?
Well, if you're Kansas City, it's sheer joy. If you're anybody else, it's something less than that. I mean, he's a tremendous player. We all know that. It's almost scary when you look down down the line and you kind of imagine where he's going to be in a few years compared to, you know, where he is at such a young age. So, I mean, this guy is as talented. I mean, the quarterback position, as we all know, the most important position, in my opinion, the most important position in all of sport. And you get somebody of that caliber at that age and imagine them, you know, with a 10, 12, 15-year career and what they can get accomplished in that whole time. I mean, it's scary for the rest of the league.
Floyd, being a general manager, what is the process like to get him on the field when it comes to doctors, coaches, communicating with the players? What's the process like of finally coming to the decision where you feel comfortable enough as an organization to put him back on the field?
You know, I'm going to imagine that Andy did it pretty much the way we did, which is, you know, it all starts with the doctors. And you know, even though you want to have input with the doctors from the standpoint of, you know, what are the risks and what are the rewards, when it comes to somebody of that caliber, I mean, they're going to be ultra careful. It's just there is absolutely no reason to risk him at this point in time. I sound like I'm a little bit of a backdoor fan here, but, you know, especially against a team that is not setting the world on fire. And so, you know, I think you feel like you could go in there with a backup and still come out with a W. And if that's the case, then, you know, why risk your star quarterback? Now, if it was a championship game or a Super Bowl then that might change things. But this certainly is not that.
Right now, we are talking to Floyd Reese from 1994 to 2006. He was the executive vice president and general manager for the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans. So that's one team's quarterback situation for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's move to your team, the Tennessee Titans. They made a change a couple of weeks ago going from Marcus Mariota to Ryan Tannehill. What has changed with Tennessee after the swap?
You know, we went into the season, or I should say John and Mike Vrabel went into the season, and they were going to give Marcus a real fair chance. I mean, let's face it. They want to have come out of this whole process with somebody they consider a franchise quarterback. And Marcus was up and down, and, you know, they couldn't quite make their minds up. And so they, you know, this was going to be the critical year. They were going to give him time. They were going to give him space. They were going to try to give him tools and just see where it went. And it just did not work out. They were forced to make a change. They made the change to Tannehill, and it's only been a couple of weeks. But after a couple of weeks, I think, you know, the change is fairly obvious. The offense has been more productive. Tannehill is composed. He's calm. He's a better decision maker. He's more accurate with the football. And I think we're starting to see, you know, some benefits of all that.
For the first several weeks, it seems like opponents' game plan against the Chiefs was run the football. And frankly, most of them were successful. The last couple of weeks, the Chiefs have done a really good job. Last week, they shut down Dalvin Cook. What's Tennessee's plan if they're going to win this game coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't know what the real plan is, but it will involve running the football. I mean, simply because we have to. You know, we are not the team with our offensive line in the condition that they're in. We're not the kind of team that's going to go out there and throw it, you know, 40, 45, 50 times and have a chance. You know, that's just not our style. So we're going to have to go out there and we're going to have to run the ball effectively enough to where we can keep it short, you know, keep it close on third downs and get ourselves in a position to convert some of the third downs and hold on to the ball a little bit. You know, we have been, especially at the start of games, have been real poor at going more than just three and out. I mean, we've struggled for the first two or three series. It seems like every game is three and out, three and out, three and out. And then we'll finally get going. You know, the problem we run into is by that time it's usually 7-0 or 10-0.
How good is this Titans defense? I take a look at the overall numbers, and I believe they were 7th in the league in scoring. How good is the Titans defense right now?
You know what? It is it's pretty good. It is solid. It is based on teamwork. Dean Pease, the coordinator, is doing a great job. You know, you can't look at our defense and have anybody scare you. You know, you're not looking at pass rushers and thinking, oh, my God, how are we going to block that guy? You're not looking at corners and thinking, geez, we can't complete a ball. But as a team working together, they're pretty good. They've been real, real solid in the red zone. That has helped them. They're, you know, modeled a little bit. Dean, I finished my career at New England working for Bill, and Dean was there with Bill at about the same time for a couple years. And this defense is largely what you see at New England, you know, which is you'll move the ball a little bit between the 20s, but that's all well and good. But when it gets down into the red zone, we're gonna find a way to hold you to field goals, and that's kind of been the objective. That's kind of the way they work, and it has been effective. Now, you know, the true test, of course, will be this week, because most of the time you guys don't waste time getting to the red zone. You just go ahead from about the 50 and throw it in the end zone.
Floyd, you brought up Tennessee's offensive line. What kind of effect has that had on Derrick Henry? I thought he was going to have a much more dynamic season, especially given the end of last year from him. He's kind of got off to a slow start this year. How has the Tennessee offensive line really affected his performance this season?
Derrick has not produced the big plays that we saw last year, especially at the end of the year. You know, the 99-yard runs and the, you know, 80-yard screens and things like that, we're not seeing. He's going out and being more consistent on a weekly basis. That is, he's going out every week and getting his, you know, 70, 80, 90 yards. But he's not had that one game where he's at, you know, 150 or 160. So he's missing a little bit on the home runs. But he's doing a pretty good job with batting average.
Right now we're talking to Floyd Reese from 1994 to 2006. He was the executive vice president and the general manager for the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans. I like Mike Vrabel, the coach, a lot. I'm curious how he is maybe behind the scenes, his personality. And I'm a big believer that teams normally take on the personality of their head coach. And I think it makes a lot of sense given how stout Tennessee is on defense.
Mike, the team, especially on defense, you know, kind of likens his personality. And Mike was a tough guy, a smart guy, a blue-collar guy, not real fancy, you know, nothing real special about him. But when the game was over, he would have his 10 tackles and a sack or sack and a half. And I think this team is kind of the same way. especially on defense. On offense, like I said, I think, you know, we're struggling a little bit with the line. But the defense is, they go out there and they play hard, play solid, try to play smart. You know, yet when you play a team that has the speed of Kansas City, it's scary for anybody, but it's scary for us, you know, because we're not slow, but speed is maybe not our absolute strong suit. And even though, you know, we've got a pass rusher that's got six sacks and we were able at times to put pressure on the quarterback, I'm not sure we can do it with great consistency. So some of those things, of course, are source of concern.
Floyd, I'm curious your opinion on this. As someone who's been around the game as long as you have, who would you compare Patrick Mahomes' ability to?
Oh, geez. You know, I'm not sure that I've seen anybody that has this kind of package. You know, he's really, really unique. I mean, if I was forced to point to somebody, I would probably say Favre-like, simply because he can throw the ball from so many different platforms, so many different angles, to so many different people at so many different depths. You know, he can be going the wrong way and throw off the wrong foot and do everything wrong and yet, you know, flip it 30 or 40 yards. And I think Brett could do that. So I guess I would look at maybe some of the passes, some of the accuracy with which he throws the ball down the field, when he breaks contain, when he's out moving around, and it turns into kind of a backyard-type game. I mean, he is just deadly with those things. And it forces your coverage to extend an extra, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds, because as he's out there running around, of course, all those receivers do a great job of adjusting to him running, and pretty soon they're all in a position where he's got a couple of targets that are sitting out there, and a lot of times when he gets the ball to him in those situations, I mean, those are, you know, 30, 40, 50-yard gains.
Floyd, we talked about heading into this season that it was kind of a Super Bowl or bust type year. Just curious, since you were the guy that was general manager of a team that came as close to winning the Super Bowl as you possibly can, how important is it, once you're that good and once you've got all that right in front of you, to actually cash in and take on the title?
Yeah, it is really, really important. And, you know, after our Super Bowl year, we still had, you know, Steve McNair was a 5-year guy. Eddie George was a 4-year guy. Javon Kearse was a rookie. Kevin Carter was, you know, a 6-year guy. We had a whole group of guys that were just about the right age, you know, just right in the prime of their careers and in good position. And we really went out of our way to sign a bunch of those guys and extend them and get them in a position where we thought, you know, okay, if we made it this time, as they mature, we'll have another chance or two. And it just never worked out for us. You know, the next year in 2000, we probably had the best team in the league. And yet Baltimore, a ball bounces off Eddie's shoulders and Ray Lewis picks it up, goes in for a touchdown, and we lose in the playoffs. And so, you know, then we go in the next year and the quarterback get hurt or the running back get hurt. We had issues and just never, ever caught up. So if you get in a position where you can strike, at least in my belief, my experience, you need to go ahead and do everything you can to strike, because there are so many hidden faults along the way that, you know, next year it looks like it should be perfect. Something bad always happens.
And that was Floyd Reese. From 1994 to 2006, he was the general manager for the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans. Really gracious with his time. Really appreciate catching up with Floyd Reese. The injury news is out. So in Mahomes, non-Mahomes injury news, he is back. Frank Clark, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Kendall Fuller are all questionable for Sunday's game. No Eric Fisher and no Alex Okafor. They are out. On the flip side for the Tennessee Titans, Jarrell Casey, their best pass rusher and defensive tackle, he will be out for Sunday's game. Delanie Walker, who went to school at UCM, he is also out. Jayen Brown, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, inside linebacker, he's out. And Corey Davis, he is doubtful, not expected to play. So at this point of the season, everybody's banged up. Everybody's dealing with injuries. A couple of key injuries on both sides for the Chiefs and the Titans.
Thank you to former GM Floyd Reese for joining us. Do you know who made the tackle at the end of the Super Bowl that I was talking to him about?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
218-334-8004. Yes, Mike Jones. Not that Mike Jones, the other Mike Jones. I saw Mike Jones one time in Lawrence at Club Magic. It was one of the worst shows I've ever been to in my entire life. You ever seen a Mike Jones concert?
No, I've never seen a Mike Jones concert. I have seen Paul Wall before.
Really? So, the People's Champ?
I have seen Paul Wall before. He's actually going to be in Kansas City not too long from now. I was thinking this whenever we were talking to Floyd Reese. If your team lacks speed, I don't know if you can beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
But the defense is, they go out there and they play hard, play solid, try to play smart. You know, yet when you play a team that has the speed of Kansas City, it's scary for anybody. But it's scary for us, you know, because we're not slow, but speed is maybe not our absolute strong suit.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
We're not slow, but speed is not our strongest attribute. You're slow. Let's just be honest here. I understand that, you know, you made a lot of money in Tennessee. You do radio in Tennessee, and I got all the respect in the world for Floyd Reese, but let's just call it how it is. Your team ain't that quick. If your team isn't that quick and you're talking about lining up defensively against Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, and you got a shaky secondary the way they have, that's a very dangerous combination, which normally leads to 350-yard passing days and 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Patrick Mahomes, who does that in his sleep, comes back. And I don't think they're going to tailor the playbook to Patrick Mahomes based on the fact that he's not 100% or close to it. I think the fact that they cleared him to play and that now we know he's going out there on Sunday, the whole playbook's going to be open. The only thing I don't want to see is a designed run for Patrick Mahomes. Anything else on Patrick Mahomes, I have no problem with.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will play Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes today, it was announced that he will be the starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will play everything that he had to say about his injury. We'll do that coming up at 3 o'clock. But before we do that, and before we get into our pop quiz, let's get into some brand spanking new Levine's Locks.
I'm Levine, and I got the locks. Buffalo, +3 at Cleveland. Buffalo, yes.
I just want to point out, the fact that you didn't tell us what your record was last week indicates to me last week wasn't good. Believe me, if you was cooking, you'd be, hey, man, last 3 weeks, 15-1, man, I'm out here doing, got to get on this train, got to get these Levine's Locks. The fact that you went right into the picks lets me know last week was a terrible week.
We went 2-3 last week. Nothing to brag about at all.
How did I know?
So we move on. Buffalo +3 at Cleveland. Cleveland's terrible. Buffalo's got everything to play for. They look like they're a playoff team right now. Probably not as good as their record indicates. Cleveland's every bit as bad as their record says they are. Buffalo getting 3? If you want to play the money line, I think the Bills win this game straight up. Seattle at San Francisco, that's the Monday night game. That's a dandy right there, C-Dot. Seattle's getting 6.5 right now. I think Frisco's good. They're a complete football team, especially the defense, and I love Kyle Shanahan, but I also love me some Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, also a complete football team. If they're getting 6.5, I'm taking those points.
So you're telling me all season, all you've done is sing the praises of San Francisco and their quarterback.
Jimmy!
And now when the rubber meets the road and they have their first real game of the season, y'all hear Marcus Peters backpedaling when it comes to your squad.
I didn't say take Seattle on the money line. I said take the 6.5 with Seattle.
Are you picking San Francisco to win the game?
They'll probably win the game, yes. I don't think they're going to win the game by 6.5 points.
You just gave a Carrington answer. I mean, they're probably going to win the game. Yeah, I would hope so. They're at home and they're a 6.5 point favorite. They probably are going to win.
Got to leave the back door open,
I like that.
Penn State. I've been trying to tell you about Penn State all year long. Nobody believed me. And look, the first
Nobody didn't believe you. What are you talking about?
You didn't believe me. And now the college football playoff rankings are out, and there's Penn State at +4 ahead of Clemson. Penn State and Minnesota, who knew? A matchup of undefeated teams. Minnesota and Baylor are the two quietest undefeated 8-0 teams in the history of college football. Penn State's a 7-point favorite on the road in Minneapolis. Penn State wins this game by at least 2 touchdowns. The biggest game, he said, and the best game on the college football schedule Saturday. #2 versus #3. That's LSU at Alabama. I just checked because this line has been ever moving since it came out. LSU right now is a 6-point underdog. Kind of like I told you in the Seattle-San Francisco game, take the 6. I don't know if LSU's going to win the game straight up, but I doubt they lose by a touchdown against
take
Alabama.
The money line.
LSU?
Mm-hmm. That's what I would do if I was going to bet.
I'm with you guys. I like it. And tonight, KU, back on the court, number three, at least as of right now. Only giving up 14 points against UNC Greensboro. Before you scoff at the Spartans of UNC Greensboro, they were a tournament team a year ago. I've never seen KU for a home opener against any directional school. Not that I'm calling Greensboro one of those. Not like a 25, 30-point favorite. They're only a 14-point favorite right now. Some say, CDOT, that they could actually lose tonight inside of Allen Fieldhouse. I don't think that's going to happen. Lay the 14 with KU tonight against the Spartans. And for the UFC fans out there, tomorrow, fight night, take Zabit.
How many locks Magomed do we Shapiro. Get? Goodness gracious, you done gave us eight locks.
I gave you five and then a sixth one. Take Zabit Magomed Shapiro fighting tomorrow night.
I feel like a lot of these bets
are
with
your
heart.
That's a real name. That's a fake name.
No, no.
That's not real.
Zabit's
you made
fighting
that up.
No, I didn't.
He's not actually fighting tomorrow.
Fight night, UFC. Zabit Magomed Shapiro.
No.
Yeah, he does.
Mustard on Zabit.
Yeah. Take Zabit.
Somebody got that on the text line.
Huh?
You took Diaz last week, right?
No, I told you that it was going to go the distance, and it would have gone the distance had the referee not screwed that fight over, but...
You don't get no credit for I told you it was going to go the distance, and it would have gone the distance, but
hold
they
on,
stopped
hold on,
the fight.
Carrington can't be the one to say that, because Carrington's the one that was asking for credit about how the Packers game went whenever he told us that it was going to go that way, but I might have gotten the winner wrong. No. Carrington's not allowed to do this one.
I'm not fighting you. I'm just saying put your money on Zabit Magomed Shapiro. That's all I got to say about that.
Do you like saying the name, or do you actually think he's going to win?
I just love saying the name.
And that's what I figured.
I feel like a lot of your locks are with your heart, not your head in this one. A lot of these are teams that you've been trying to tell us about for weeks. KU, Penn State, San Francisco. I mean, a lot of these are...
Call my bluff. Is Buffalo going to lose to Cleveland, your Browns?
No, I think Buffalo's going to win.
Seattle?
Cleveland's favored. That's weird.
I bet I know you, and you think Seattle's going to win. You're about to say that, weren't you?
Yeah,
see?
Seattle to win.
Okay, so Penn State, 7 against Minnesota. Like, I hear what you're saying, but you agree with me.
I just want to know, when did you tell me about Penn State, and then I deny the
BK,
Penn State?
Have I
been
talking?
That's a liar right now. I'm asking.
Thank you,
BK. I can't ask when.
Thank you.
Can you tell me when? Can you tell me when this happened?
6 weeks ago. He was like, Penn State's really good. They might be a team to watch for the college football playoff. And CDOT said, no, they're not.
Yes, you just brushed it off, and here they are.
I was with you, CDOT. That's the only reason I remember is because I was wrong about
it. I just want to know when this was. I'm asking.
He's trying to tell you right now.
He said
listen
it was
up.
So you're telling me week two of the college football season, you saw the
vision
with Penn State?
It was like week four.
I feel like it was maybe the Michigan game is when you came around.
No.
No, it was before then, remember? Because we said if they're for real, they're going to start winning some of these games, and then they did start winning some of these games.
Love me some Nittany Lion. I don't know what Nittany means, but I love me some Lion.
Okay, my bad. You told me after Idaho and Buffalo, after two games, you saw the vision with Penn State.
Yes.
You saw the vision. Was it that 17-10 win against Pittsburgh?
No, it was when they were ranked like top 10 after their Purdue win. Because then they had, I remember it was the week they were about to play Iowa. And I said, if they beat Iowa, then Michigan, we will know that they're actually good. And then they did beat Iowa and Michigan.
Okay. Now that you say that, I do kind of remember that conversation.
We'll really find out how good they are here in a couple of weeks when they play Ohio State. Then we'll find out how good they are.
That's 100%. Do we know what your record is for the season? I feel like we got to have way more stack tracking here when it comes to Levine's locks. Because nobody fact checks you. And we don't know if you win or lose or any of this kind of stuff. We got to do a better job.
Sean
this
fact
is the
checks
team.
Himself whenever it goes in his favor.
I cooked the books a little bit with these, but
100%.
Yeah, we're winning. I'll say that much.
How do we know? No one knows.
I tell you every single week, and
Sean
you can check
to
the
Levine's
tape.
Locks as I am to Survivor. He's still in it, but we're not really sure how.
Nobody knows.
I feel really good about these.
I don't know. Nobody texted in and say, "Hey, Levine, I've been riding the Levine train here. I've been winning a lot of money. Thank you."
Nobody said they've been losing a bunch of money either. Like I said, I think we're up a little bit.
I wonder if that's just because they don't trust you.
Yeah, nobody trusts these locks.
They're not good locks.
They're flimsy locks.
You remember the lock you had on your Schwinn when you were a kid that at some point somebody broke?
You had a Schwinn.
You didn't have a Schwinn?
I had a Huffer, bro.
No, I had a Schwinn.
I had a Huffer.
It was my sister's Schwinn. It had them things on the spokes, you know what I'm talking about? All the colored things.
I had the mind.
The tassels, too, and the basket. I got made fun of a lot, dog. Questions must be submitted
in writing. Coming up in just a bit, we will hear from Patrick Mahomes. We will play every single thing he had to say about his injuries. Patrick Mahomes is back. But before we do that, today's pop quiz is a movie, and it's presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Go to college and all that, I guess.
What about you? You going to go to college?
Oh, not me, coach. I'm a brainiac like Rev.
Think you got a future in football?
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up in just a bit, we will hear from Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of your team. He is back starting this week. We will play every single thing he had to say about his knee injury. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.